gone are the days when the sort of romantic nationalism of the students who had gathered at the Wartburg Festival in 1817. These liberals were hard-headed men who were in tune with business interests and needs. They wanted a united country with a common currency, common weights and measures that would be able to compete in an increasingly industrial world with the larger nation-states of Western Europe. In order to do that, all of the residues of feudalism had to be removed. Guilds had to go. Serfdom had to go. The organization of the economy along rational liberal principles. This was something that actually all of the liberals agreed on, whether they were Republicans or constitutional monarchists, whether they were Kleindeutsch or Grossdeutsch. Industrial freedom and the liberation of the peasantry. The delegates at Frankfurt would draft a constitution that was a model of 19th century liberalism. It created a federal state, not a centralized state. It also called for a hereditary emperor. But that hereditary emperor would not be a Habsburg. It was decided that it was just too complicated. Too complicated, that one had to, that a Kleindeutsch solution was the only way to go for a united German state, and that the hereditary emperor would in all likelihood be a Hohenzollern from Prussia. It also established representative government, a responsible ministry, so that the ministry would be responsible to a parliament. It established basic civil rights. It called for an end to serfdom and industrial freedom. An adjunct to the Constitution drafted in Frankfurt was a document called the Industrial Code, embedded in which were all of the basic principles of laissez-faire economics. Removal of the guilds, industrial freedom, and so on. The problem for this was for the revolutionaries, both in Frankfurt and elsewhere, was that if you'll recall that image that we talked about earlier with regard to the revolution of 1789, the hourglass, all across German Central Europe, peasants unhappy about and desperate because of the failed crops of 46 and 47, small shopkeepers, artisans who were afraid of and unhappy with the advance of liberal capitalism, and also suffering because of the crop failures. Prominent liberal businessmen, men of some economic stature, all had come together against the oppressive authority of the old regime. But once they began to actually draft constitutions to implement, to create a new state, then they had passed through this narrows of the hourglass, and one begins to see the dispersion of interests once again immediately. There was a great social dilemma for the liberals at Frankfurt and elsewhere that I think is important not only for what it reveals about Germany, but for liberalism as a whole in the 19th century. The liberals remained true to their principles at Frankfurt. They stuck with the industrial code. This industrial code they were very proud of, and it would have abolished the power of the guilds. It would have removed, as we've seen, the obstacles to liberal capital and industrial development. The only problem was that this is not what the guild members wanted. And these were the people who'd been on the barricades in the cities all over Germany in 1848. At the same time that the Frankfurt Parliament was meeting in the Paul's Church, just across town in Frankfurt, a National Congress of Artisans convened. And what did they demand? They didn't want the Industrial Code. They didn't want economic freedom in a liberal sense. What they wanted was some sort of protection of the guilds, protection from the competition of big capitalism. Similarly, the peasantry, which in 1848 had produced a great fear in the countryside. What did they want? They wanted the abolition of serfdom. Well, the Frankfurt Parliament called for an end to serfdom.